panicked when I couldn't see the words. I don't know if you heard, but it's Mother's Day. Let's pray real quick. Father God, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for just time fellowshipping with one another and time worshiping you, Lord, time looking to your word and thanking you for all of creation, Lord, all that you do for us. You are amazing. We thank you so much, Lord. We praise you. Well, happy Mother's Day to everybody. Happy Mother's Day to everybody that's had a mother. How many of us have had a mother? I thought I'd see more hands. So today we celebrate God's gift of mothers to us. We celebrate you that are mothers, and we remember our own mothers. The great thing about Mother's Day is that it causes us to stop and remember all of the things that our mothers do for us. And as men, if we're honest, that includes our wives. We see the big obvious things that mothers do for their families. But it's amazing when you stop and see all the little things that mothers do for their children, even the ones they married. And isn't that how it is with God? With us as well. We see all of his big blessings in our lives, our families, our health, our relationships, our finances. But knowing God's goodness, we realize that just like our mothers, God is continually moving in the background of our lives, caring and blessing for us in ways that we don't even see. While preparing for the message today, I thought about the passage Isaiah 65:24, where God says, "Before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear." God is continually moving in the background of our lives, preparing his blessing, and even when we don't even see it, even before we realize our own needs, he is already moving. And likewise with our wives and our mothers, I'm amazed every time I stop and think about everything my wife does for my family. I can't count the times when I or one of my kids when they were younger would say, "Have you seen my new pants?" And she'll say, "They're in the dryer." Or you go to the refrigerator and you see that it's magically filled up again. And those are just the small little things that our mothers and wives do for us. And there are so many other ways that mothers like God are moving in the background of our lives, blessing us and caring for us, caring for our needs. And unfortunately, too many times with God and our mothers in our lives, we don't see it. I think it's taken granted for. Mother's Day is our day to stop and thank them for the blessing that they are in our lives, to show them that we see them and appreciate all that they do for us. I did some research on Mother's Day and found that the first Mother's Day in the United States was on May 10th, 1908. And it was initiated by Anna Jarvis. And her wiki page says that Anna's mother had frequently expressed the desire for a holiday celebrating mothers. And 3 years after the death of Anna's mother, Anna led a movement to establish a day that would celebrate mothers all across the United States. And while Anna could not attend the first celebration, she sent 500 white carnations. She wrote to those in attendance about the carnations, saying, "Its whiteness symbolizes the truth and purity and the broad charity of a mother's love. Its fragrance of her memory and her prayers. The carnation does not drop its petals, but hugs them to its heart as it dies. And so, too, mothers hug their children to their hearts, their motherly love never dying." Anna said when she selected the flower, she was remembering her mother's flower bed of white-pink carnations. So today, as you look at these carnations, think of how they symbolize your mother's love, the never-dying, never-ending love that she has for you. The person you consider your mother may or may not be your biological mother, but perhaps it's someone who showed you that same motherly love. I know my mom had a lot of struggles and weaknesses. She struggled with alcoholism and finding a good man. I had 5 stepfathers in my life, and often she was a single mom growing up. But even with all of her struggles, I would never doubt her love for me. And even though my mom was not always able to provide a stable setting for me growing up, God in his mercy and provision put other mom figures in my life to help guide my steps as I grew. One of those was my aunt. I would often get sent to stay with her when things got especially bad at home. She provided me with a safe place as a kid and was probably the biggest influence in my life that made me want to one day have a stable family. It's amazing how a mother's influence can direct a person's steps through life, especially in times of uncertainty. And Scripture tells of another person who God, in his great mercy and forethought, provided a motherly figure to. The book of Ruth tells of a woman named Naomi that God put in Ruth's life. The book of Ruth takes place in the time of the judges. This is after Moses, right after Joshua and the elders had all died. And the book of Judges paints a picture of the culture of Israel at that time. It was a time filled with uncertainty and a lack of obedience to God. Judges 2, 11 through 19 says, "And the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. And they abandoned the Lord and the God of their fathers who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. They went with other gods from among the gods of the peoples who were around them and bowed down to them. And they provoked the Lord to anger. They abandoned the Lord and served the Baals and the Asheroth, so that the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. He gave them over to plunderers who plundered them, and he sold them into the hands of their surrounding enemies, so that they could no longer withstand their enemies. Whenever they marched out, the hand of the Lord was against them for harm. As the Lord had warned, the Lord had sworn to them, and they were in terrible distress. Then the Lord raised up judges who saved them out of the hands of those who had plundered them. Yet they did not listen to their judges, for they whored after the other gods and bowed down to them. They soon turned aside from the way in which the fathers had walked and had obeyed the commandments of the Lord, and they did not do so. Whenever the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge, and he saved them from the hand of their enemies all the days of that judge. For the Lord was moved to pity by their groaning because of those who afflicted and oppressed them. But whenever the judge died, they turned back and were corrupt more than their fathers, going after other gods, serving and bowing down to them. They did not drop any of their practices or their stubborn ways." Sounds a lot like our world today, doesn't it? So this kind of explains the culture and the setting of Ruth and what was happening in Israel at the time. So as we look to chapter 1 in the book of Ruth, keep in mind that Israel was a mess. It was filled with moral depravity, the absence of God in their lives, and by their own choice. And their enemies would plunder all their crops and all of their cattle. So Ruth opens saying, "In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. And a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his 2 sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi, and the names of the 2 sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephraites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her 2 sons. These took Moab wives. The name of the one was Orpah, not Oprah, and the name of the other was Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion died. So the woman was left without her 2 sons and her husband. So as the book of Ruth opens, we learn of these three women who by fate share tragic events in their lives that led to them being widowed, suffering from grief and hunger, and because of loss of their husbands, they are now homeless. Not only has their loss affected them emotionally, but has left them in a vulnerable position in society. They have no one to provide for them or to protect them. Ruth chapter 1, 6 through 18 says, "Then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law and then went out on their way to their return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her daughters-in-law, 'Go return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband.' And then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, 'No, we will return with you to your people.' But Naomi said, 'Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I too am old. I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they are grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter for me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me.' And then they lifted up their voices and wept again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, 'See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and back to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law.' But Ruth said, 'Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me from you.' And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more." So Naomi tells her widowed daughters to head back home to their families. She has nothing to offer them. Naomi has lost everything. Her sons, her husbands have died, her financial support is gone, and her loved ones are gone. And yet, even in the face of all that Naomi lost, we see her put her needs, we see her put the needs of Ruth and Orpah above her own. These women are all she has left, and yet rather than selfishly expect them to care for her, she encourages Ruth and Orpah to do what is best for their futures. She could have guilted them into staying with her, but she put their needs in front of her own, just like our mothers do, so often putting their needs, our needs, in front of their own. While both daughter-in-laws express their love towards Naomi, Orpah gives in to Naomi's request and disappears from the story. But there is a special connection between Ruth and Naomi. Ruth enters into a covenant with her mother-in-law, saying, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God." It's obvious that Ruth saw something special in Naomi. That connection with Naomi gave Ruth comfort and brought peace to her in a time of moral decay in society, in a time of personal loss. Naomi's love became an anchor in Ruth's life. And because of that mother-daughter connection, when Naomi tried to send Ruth away, Ruth says, "You are my family for life." I love how Ruth said to Naomi, "Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God." The motherly example in Naomi's life led Ruth to abandon the way of life of her people and to deny the God of her people. Naomi's example as a woman and a mother led Ruth to serve the true and living God, and that's the best testimony of a person's faith. This relationship became an unbreakable bond between Naomi and Ruth and gave Ruth the peace in uncertain times. And isn't that just how a mother's love for her children is? When you're young and scared, there is nothing like a mother's love to comfort you. That safe embrace of a mother's love. The book of Ruth goes on to show how Naomi worked in Ruth's life, directing her steps, playing matchmaker and leading her into a secure life, a life blessed by God. Ruth was a Moabite and would eventually be married to her kinsman redeemer, a farmer named Boaz, who was the son of Rahab the prostitute, found in Joshua chapter 2. They had a son named Obed, who had a son named Jesse, who had a son named King David. And that lineage would bring to the birth of Jesus himself. And it's amazing how God brings the most unlikely situations and unlikely people together for his glory and his purposes. Through the pain and confusion of these women's lives, God moved and blessed all of mankind through history. Naomi showed herself as a great example of guidance to Ruth. Even in the face of her own loss and grief, she mentored Ruth, showing how faith in a true and living God can transform lives. I believe that Ruth saw God in Naomi's life, and that led her to serve God. And we can see those same motherly attributes in our relationship with God, that same sense of safety in times of distress when we turn to God. When we feel that embrace and sense of safety, we acknowledge God's presence in our lives. And think about that for a moment, the attributes of God. Genesis 1:27 says that God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Some versions say in God's likeness, he created them. God created man to display his fatherly attributes. When we call God Father, it doesn't mean he's a male. John 4:24 says God is spirit, but rather that God reveals himself through the attributes of a father. He provides, he protects, he leads us in battle, he disciplines. In Hosea, he describes himself as a good husband that loves and protects his wife. Those are attributes typically seen in a human man. Likewise, there are times in Scripture when he displays his attributes that we see in a mother. God comforts his people like a mother comforts her child in Isaiah 66:13. Like a woman never forgetting to nurse her child, God will never forget his children in Isaiah 49. God is like a mother eagle and hovers over her young, Deuteronomy 32. God cares for his people like a midwife that cares for the child she just delivered, Psalms 22, Psalm 71, and Isaiah 66. God experiences the fury of a mother robbed of her cubs, Hosea 13:8. Jesus longed for the people of Jerusalem like a mother hen longs to gather her chicks under her wings, Luke 13. Women are created with a deeper sense of caring and of tenderness. Over and over, God likens his love for his people to that of a mother caring for her children. That special, endless love we see in our wives and our mothers is a natural, God-given instinct that God himself has blessed us with. So when you watch your mother or your wife and you see her motherly attributes, caring for, comforting, mother henning, remember that she is instinctively displaying the attributes of God that he instilled in her. God created woman especially for the purpose of displaying his deep maternal love for his children. And how great is that when we realize that that is how deeply God loves us. He longs to hold us, to nurture us, to look at us with his eyes like a mother, full of love. And so today we celebrate God's creation of women, God's special creation that he designed with that instinctive ability to care for the children of mankind. So whether they are biological mother or not, they inherently possess his attributes. And for that, we give thanks to God and for each one of them. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much that you answer our needs, you fill our needs before we even realize what we need, Lord. In Genesis, Lord, you said it isn't good that man would be alone. And you make that so obvious by providing us a mother and a wife and a partner. And it's just amazing to see how you move, Lord. Today I pray that each one of us would just give thanks to you for our mothers, our wives, and that we just glorify your name. In Jesus' name, amen.